Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th hour, apostolic Presbyterian congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August the 22, 2014, or it is 8/27/2018, and 18, we will start our first service today with a song entitled, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Yah. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning, the terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Yah is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of the 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Yahshua is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him, be jubilant, my feet. Yahshua is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Yahshua is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Yahshua was born across the sea. With the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. Our King is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah, our King is marching on. City of David, part 11, we're going to continue now. With our study, we're going to defer to prayer thought. They're taken from Psalms 107 and 8 and 9. That's those three chapters. Oh, give thanks unto Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of Yahweh say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and give them out of the hands from the east, and from the west, from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And they cried unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of their habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Yahweh for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of the death, being bound in the affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of Yahweh and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Yahweh for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and kept the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. And they draw near unto the gates of the death. Then they cry unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the goodness of Yahweh for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with their rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Yahweh and his wonders in the deep, for he commandeth and raises the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up unto the heaven. They go down again to the depths of their soul. It is melted because of the trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Yahweh for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into a water spring. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, and they, that they may prepare a city for habitation. And sow the fields and plant the vineyards which they yield are fruits of the increase, which may yield fruits of the increase. He blessed them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to disease. Again, they are ministered, they are minished and brought low through the oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon the princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet sitteth he the poor on high from the affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Yahweh. Psalms 108, verse 1. O Yahweh, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, salt, psaltery, and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise you, O Yahweh, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth rejoices unto the clouds.
Reaches.
Huh?
Reaches.
Reaches. Let's do that again. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reaches unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O Yahweh, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and answer me. Elohim hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will devise Shechem and meet out the valley of Sukkoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the strength of mine head, Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot over Edom, will I cast out my shoe. Over Philistia will I triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? He will lead me into Edom. Wilt not thou, Yahweh, who hast cast us off, and wilt not thou, O Yahweh, go forth with our host? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. To Elohim we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Psalms 109. Hold not thy peace, O Yahweh, as my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compass me about also with the words of hatred, and fought against me without a cause. For my love they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Sit thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, and neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Now this is Psalms 109, verse 14. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Yahweh, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Yahweh continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. So this is Brother W. Johnson. He was a ringleader of this type of an attitude toward Yahweh's humble people that had joined him, seeking salvation through Gilead's sin. It says, because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. We get condemned because we read these scriptures and we give them a present tense application. We apply them. That's where it belongs. And yet we get condemned for it because we're full of hatred. We're making claims that don't belong to us anyway, and now we're condemning those that have gone before us. Okay, let's continue on. Psalm 9, verse 18. As he clothed himself with a cursing like as with his garment, so let it come into his bowels like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. And let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Yahweh, and of them that speak evil against my soul. But do thou for me, O Yahweh, the Yahweh, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good. Deliver thou me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as a locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them when they looked upon me. They shake their heads. Help me, O Yahweh, my Elohim. O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is of thy hand, that thou, Yahweh, hast done it. Now, Rhoda says at the Passover 2003 that we got his last invitation from me and Alan. We both sent him an invitation. And my wife as well. All three of us sent invitations through messages to come and break over and take and join us and take the Passover with us and come into unity and get rid of all these curses that have been brought upon our congregation. Okay, he says that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Yahweh, hast done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. So this is falls upon Alan DeLong. For now he has openly come out and declared himself as an adversary to the house of David. So he said, let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with the mantle. That's exactly what happened down in Kermit. Okay, I will greatly praise Yahweh with my mouth, yea, I will praise him among the multitude, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. Okay, so we know that we had the house of King Saul condemn the soul of David. We know that. We're in the top. King Saul condemned the soul of David. He couldn't give up until he caught that man. And then after he caught up with him and David disclosed how he escaped out of his hand and had cut off this, the remnant of his garment, and next morning he showed it to King Saul. He said, I could have slain you, you know. You could. And King Saul said, my son David, art thou my son David? Thou art more righteous than I, because you showed mercy unto me. You're more righteous than I. And yet, his heart was bent on it, pursuing after David anyway and killing him. Okay? That's a sad, sad commentary, folks. Well, let's go ahead and read Psalms 110 now. Verse 1. The Yahweh said unto my master, sit thou at my right hand until I make mine enemies thy footstool. Now, this is David talking. He said, the Father, Yahweh Elohim, has made Yahshua. He says to sit at his footstool till he makes his enemies thy footstool. So Yahshua is here directing traffic here in the kingdom. And he's not going to stop until he makes his enemies his footstool. And right now in Jerusalem, folks, pay attention. We got Zechariah 14 going on, just starting right now. And Yahweh's instructed me that I'm going to probably end up in Jerusalem a lot quicker than I realize, a lot sooner than I even think. You get ready for in a day, and a day that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Yeah, he's sure is shaping up over there, because the leadership in Jerusalem are inadvertently behind the scenes are working with the enemy to build them up. And so they are really collaborating with the enemy. That Anya and that leadership over there. You need to watch the news closely. Watch that Arutz Shiva news 7. Arutz Shiva 7. It's Arutz Shiva 7. The number 7. Click on that for your Jerusalem news every day. And you can read between the lines. Okay, and Psalms 110 verse 2, it says, the Yahshua shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Now he's telling me that this is where we're going to do. The house of David's going to be right there in the middle of Jerusalem. Because they already hit a synagogue this morning. I'm going to read you that news where they've already hit a synagogue. And that's been closed down to the Jews ever since 1929. And they had a massacre there in 1929. And the Jews have been forbidden. This is the right time to rectify the situation. Exactly 85 years, almost to the exact same week of the Hebron massacre, Tarpat of 1929. Are we waiting for a clear signal that it's time to return? There, we got a signal today. Right there. And I'm going to read you that news here in a minute. It says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of thy holiness, as from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Yahweh has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Yahweh at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the days of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. That's going on right now. The ISIS group, that terrorist group, that's joined up with the Lebanon Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood, that Obama is the president of all of these here terrorist groups. And he's supplying money to them. Without the United States supplying money, and Israel, Jerusalem itself, is supplying enough building material of gravel and cement to build up Gaza, how many times over, and they've been doing this for several years, and knowing that they wasn't using that to build with, that they were using that to build tunnels and all of that weapon and getting weapons of war to come through there. And that to Anu has been the regulator of supplying all these supplies to the Gaza and the Palestinians. And they've been using it to build all those tunnels. They're using all that money and material that Israel's been supplying them. In the name of Gaza belongs to Israel anyway, and we're just going to build up our own property and so forth. They have no plans. Old Netanyahu don't have no plans of making Gaza part of Jerusalem. That will fulfill Zechariah 14 if anything ever did. So I'm going to turn to Zechariah 14 right now. I'm going to read this after I read this news from the Arus Shiva 7, the main news channel there in Israel. It says it's a national disgrace. It's a national triumph. It says there's a picture right there of this synagogue on fire there where they heavily damaged it. The fact that something like this could happen is a national disgrace. However, their correct response would be to transform it into a national triumph. Of all the checkpoint barriers in Hebron, this one leads to the famous Hebron Shiva, Yeshiva, Knesset, Yisroel, Sloboka. It is just slightly further down the road. For whatever bad reason, the yeshiva was left outside of the Israeli-controlled area, H2. Jews are currently not able to access the empty facility. For those who are familiar with the area, you know that just to the left of this post is a sign that clearly signals the direction to the yeshiva, and then under it is written, "Jewish access forbidden." Picture below. You can't even find that in country clubs in America anymore. This is the right time to rectify the situation. Exactly 85 years, almost to the exact same week of the Hebron massacre, the Tarpot of 1929, are we waiting for a clear signal that it is time to return? For the current Israeli government talks about a lot about Hebron, and how important it is for the Jewish people and the state of Israel. Talk is nice, but action is much nicer and much more appropriate. In Beit HaShalom, the government backed up its words, and hopefully this same will be true at the Beit Makpelah. However, these were both projects that were initiated by the courageous private individuals. It's time for the government to act and to take back Yeshiva Hebron. So the government of Israel is identical to the government of the United States. We've got these Babylonian leaders in there. Netanyahu, he's a Russian Jew immigrant. His folks were immigrants from Russia. And he went to the schools here in the United States, Harvard. And those schools that are Catholic schools, they're Catholic universities, run by Jesuits, and that's where Netanyahu got his training, the president of Russia. I mean, the president of Israel. Okay? So now, you see what we're dealing with over there. Their government in Israel is just as infiltrated with the communist Jesuit situation as our government. Okay? And all the evil governments around the world. Okay, so it says it is time for the government to act and take back Yeshiva Hebron. Take it back. Who's in control of it? It must be that Jordanian Egypt bunch of hooligans. Okay? So anyway, That's that right there. Now let's just go ahead and read Psalms 111 right now while I read it. It says, "Praise ye the Yahweh, I will praise ye Yahweh, with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. For the works of Yahweh are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Yahweh is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. For the works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in the truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. For the fear of the Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Psalms 112. Praise ye Yahweh, blessed is the man that feareth the Yahweh, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Upon the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lenity, he will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever, for the righteous shall be ever in the everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of the evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Yahweh. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given unto the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away, for the desire of the wicked shall perish. Okay, so what's the desire of the wicked today? Their number one desire is that we got to take back our city, Jerusalem, that they claim as theirs, and that they got to, they won't be happy until they have driven and killed every last Jew on the face of the earth. So it says, the wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away, for the desire of the wicked shall perish. Okay, Psalms 113. Praise ye the Yahweh. Praise, O ye servants of Yahweh. Praise the name of the Yahweh. Blessed be the name of the Yahshua from this time forth for and forevermore. Now this is, I'm making this declaration right now. From this time forth here on August the 22nd. 2014, 2018, it says right here, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Yahshua's name is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down, for the Yahshua is high above all nations, and his glory above the heat of the heavens. Who is like unto Yahweh or Elohim, who dwelleth on high, who honoreth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted the needy out of the dunghill, that he may sit him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of the children. Praise ye the Yahweh. Psalms 114. And when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of a strange language, that's your Egyptian. And they're wanting to turn now, they want Egyptian, Egypt to be a mediator and to be a place for the sitting of these peace talks with the terrorist Hamas and all the terrorist faction. Okay, and these, the Bible calls them a strange people with a strange language. Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. Okay, so now what does it mean Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion? When Israel, Jacob, went down into Egypt to join his son Joseph and spent 17 years down there. That's when Judah was the sanctuary for Egypt. Well, no, when Yahweh sent Joseph down there, and Joseph got elevated to the second position to the king, Pharaoh, as the second ruler in the land, as the governor of Israel, I mean, of down in Egypt. And he was from the land of Canaan. Joseph was from the land of, as we know, of Israel today. And that's when Egypt was blessed, when they had the Hebrew children down there in their midst, down in the land of Goshen, for 17 years, when Jacob brought his whole family down and had his 12 sons with him before he died right down there in Goshen, Egypt. So let's read that again. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of a strange language, Judah was his sanctuary. Okay. And Israel his dominion. Then the sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. Okay. So now what it says, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of a strange language, Judah was his sanctuary. Judah was his sanctuary. Judah was his lawgiver. Okay. And Israel his dominion. And Israel, the land of Israel, is his dominion. When he went out of Egypt, out of a strange place where a people had a strange language. Judah was his sanctuary down at Jerusalem in Israel. Okay. And Israel, the land of Israel, is his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. See, the Red Sea was parted. They went over dry shod. Jordan was driven back. The River Jordan, 40 years later, it was driven back and parted. Couldn't keep the children of Israel from inheriting their land. You divide the Red Sea, you part the Red Sea, and you part the River Jordan. 40 years apart. And because they couldn't keep Israel from inheriting their land. The mountains skipped like rams, the little hills like lambs. What ail thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest, thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? Ye mountains that ye skipped like rams, and ye little hills like lambs, tremble thou earth at the presence of Yahweh, at the presence of the Elohim of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, and that rock represented Yahshua, the flint into a fountain of waters. Psalms 115, and not unto us, O Yahweh, not unto us, but unto thy name, give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their Elohim? But our Elohim is in the heaven. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hand. Psalms 115, verse 5. He said, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusts in them. For Israel trusts on the Yahweh, is he their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Yahweh, he is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Yahweh, trust in the Yahweh, he is their help and their shield. Yahweh hath been mindful of us. He will bless us, and he will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Yahweh, both small and great. The Yahweh shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Yahweh, which made the heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Yahshua's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. Let's do it again. For the heaven, even the heavens, belongs to Yahweh, the Father, but the earth hath he given unto the children of men as well as to his Son, Yahshua. For the dead praise not the Yahweh, neither any that go down into the silence. But we will bless the Yahweh from this time forth and forevermore praise the Yahshua and Yahweh the Father. Let us continue on reading now the Bible. We're on Psalms chapter 116. It says that I love the Yahweh because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. For the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pangs of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow, then called upon the name of Yahweh. O Yahweh, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Yahweh and righteous, yea, our Elohim is merciful. Yahweh preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For Yahweh hath dealt bountifully with thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Yahweh in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in mine, hey, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Yahweh for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Yahweh. I will pay my vows unto the Yahweh, now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Yahweh is the death of his saints. O Yahweh, truly I am thy servant, I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Yahweh. I will pay my vows unto the Yahweh now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Yahweh's house, in the midst of thee, O Yahweh, and praise ye the Yahweh. Psalms 117. O praise the Yahweh, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Yahweh endureth forever. Praise ye the Yahweh. Okay, Psalms 118. O give thanks unto Yahweh, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Yahweh say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Yahweh in the distress. The Yahweh answered me and set me in a large place. The Yahweh is on my side. I will not fear. What can a man do unto me? The Yahweh taketh my part with them that helped me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in Yahweh than to put confidence in the man. It is better to trust in the Yahweh than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Yahweh will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of Yahweh I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of the thorn. For in the name of the Yahweh I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me, that I might fall. But the Yahweh helped me. The Yahweh is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of the rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Yahweh doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Yahweh is exalted. The right hand of the Yahweh doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Yahweh. The Yahweh hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open unto me the gates of the righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Yahweh. For this gate of the Yahweh, into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Yahweh's doings. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Yahweh hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, I beseech thee, O Yahweh. O Yahweh, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Yahweh. We have blessed you out of the house of the Yahweh. Elohim is the Yahweh, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with the cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my Elohim, and I will praise thee. Thou art my Elohim, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now that's the end of our reading for the prayer. Psalms 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it goes Now again, it's got 176 verses. So we're going to save that for later. Now let us go and get into our regular study, which is taken from the tract that I'm reading from that I have compiled, entitled For the Antitypical Showdown on the Mount Carmel. And we're on page 17 of that compilation. It says, but some, with the fabled ostrich habit of bearing their head to danger, shot up from under the sand, as it were. There is no danger. This movement will triumph. But the very best evidence that the great objective of the SDA movement is in the gravest danger of failing is the deep concern evinced by the president of the General Conference in an address published in Review and Herald October the 14th, 1937, which we quote in part as follows. I tell you solemnly that there are forces and influences at the work which, if unchecked, will render us just as unprepared for the second coming of Yahshua as was Israel for his first coming. Make no mistake about that. I see those influences at work, for the spirit of the Sadduceeism is working like leaven, and I want to lift my voice in the earnest entreaty that you may see that the door is closed against all such intrusion. I summon you all to engage in the fight against the spirit of the Sadduceeism, the spirit of the worldly conformity, the spirit which, if allowed to go unchecked, will subvert and change the whole spirit and purpose of this movement. This question also came to me. Are we in our defense of these great principles of the truth that Elohim has committed to us, allowing the mantle to fall from our own shoulders upon the shoulders of the others? Are we going to allow others to step into our places and call the world to a reformation along some of these lines? Objective of the movement in the balance. I believe that we ought to bestir ourselves mightily. This is no ordinary time, for the times demand something unusual. I want to stand here before you today as one who believes and believes deeply, seriously, and earnestly that the whole purpose and objective of this movement today is in the balance. It is for us to turn the scale on the side of the rights. I tell you, my friends, in all seriousness, that today many of our young people are confused and their faith is broken down by what they see and hear. Do you not know this? Is it not the truth? It may be an infallible truth, but many of our young people today do not believe in spirit of prophecy because of the inconsistency that they see in the lives of those who ought to be their leaders. If we want the young people to believe, we must set them an example in the faith and practice. I think the time has come when this setting of a right example should be a challenge to all our people. There is no use of our posing before the world in a certain light and then shaping our whole course and purpose according unto another policy. May Elohim help us to come back to the simplicity and faith, unto the obedience and right practice. Most of our people know of the standards as taught in the spirit of prophecy, and when they see us violating them in our practice, they lose faith, not only in the testimony, but in our leadership. Let us be consistent leaders. Let us practice what we preach. It is not the assault of our enemies that I fear. No. What I am afraid of is our own departure from the true course. That is the hardest to deal with. We are the neediest people on earth. My friends, we need something extraordinary done for us. A great procession is moving toward the kingdom. Are we leading the force of the Elohim in the right direction? Okay, we come to a subtitle here for our next study. Is a revival is needed. It says revival needed. What would Yahshua say unto us today if we were here, if he were here? Would he undertake to cleanse the temples of our hearts and to drive out the spirit of Sadduceeism and of the materialism of the worldly conformity? I believe he would. I believe what we need today as a group of the educators and leaders more than anything else is something that cannot come unto us from any communities on the resolutions, and that is a revival of the primitive of righteousness. Would Elohim that this convention may not close until that something comes to us, not a revival of the merely lip service, but a revival of the heart and of the life, a change of the practice, a change that will help us to true up our objectives in this great movement. Today I plead with you all to take your eyes off the world and fix them upon the Lamb of the Elohim, which takes away the sin of the world. Let us talk more about what he is unto this movement than we do about some other things that engage so much of our time and conversation. Again, held by 114, number 41, October 14th, 1937, this is printed. Oh, how dreadfully clear it is from every angle viewed that the grizzled horses have led the chariots into the world instead of out of it. Even the General Conference President is pleading with these world-loving leaders to amend their ways and their doings, Jeremiah 7:3. But quitting not their backward course, yet they are retained by the denomination, though they continue leading the people away from the Elohim and from the spirit of prophecy and closer to the world and its corrupting influence. And since they are casting out those who are striving to awaken the latest sin, gone out the General Conference President in his efforts to awaken, to arouse to the ironical situation at hand, and instead of longer supporting those self-willed leaders, discharge them and refellowship the signed crying ones, Testimony Volume 5, page 210, whom they have cast out. This fits perfectly at Kermit, Texas, with what happened in 2002 with us. Okay, this very thing just happened. Aroused to the ironical situation at hand, and instead of longer supporting those self-willed leaders, discharge them and refellowship the sign crying line. So I told us, get rid of all these people here. I give them the name. This is your family members, Daniel. This is at least take them out of any position and tell them they've got to repent and get the filthy garments changed along with you, all of us. Matter of fact, I told him, I said, well, I've got filthy garments on. I said, we all got filthy garments, I told him. I said, I'm not excluded from that. And yet that didn't make any difference to him. Okay. And while the grizzled horses are bringing the tragedy upon themselves, the languishing in the South Country, lukewarm and satisfied with their attainments, the bay horses have sought to go if they might walk to and fro through the earth. That is, they have been making ready to go, but could not go until told. Get ye hence, walk to and fro through the earth. Finally, though, they walk signifying that they are honored as the Elohim by the bearing of his standard and triumph unto the victory. In this restraining circumstance is found proof again of the inerrancy, the not erring of the rod, for from the beginning it has proclaimed that the three angels' messages cannot go to the ends of the earth until after fulfillment of Ezekiel 9 and after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as described in Joel 3:28, the time in which the Yahweh has prophetically said, go. Had the present leaders, those who are represented by the grizzled horses, taken heed unto the call for the Reformation, and had these been little in their own eyes, as says the Spirit of Prophecy, and trusted full in the Yahweh, he would have honored them with bearing his standard and triumph unto the victory. But they separated from Yahweh, yielded unto the influence of the world, and the Yahweh rejected them. page 82, wherever that was quoted from before. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, saith the Yahshua, Revelation 3:16. That was actually Yahshua, the Son, that was his own words. And so that he was talking to that angel of the candlestick, Brother Johnson. So this is pinpointed and come down close to home now. Then will they seek for this extra oil, but alas, too late to profit by any answer to their apprehensive questions. Are we allowing the mantle to fall from our own shoulders upon the shoulders of others? Are we going to allow others to step into our places and call the world to a reformation? He's talking to Gilead Center. He said, the Adventist was representing the Adventists, and so, yeah, he had to call the House of David. To be sure, this movement, chariot, is destined to go forward triumphantly, but only behind the leadership of the bay horses. For the chain of the facts linked herein concerning the church's condition is so solidly forged by the prophecy and history that none can break it. Indeed, each prophetic link is so manifest that even the General Conference President is alarmed. Yet, despite this fact, the servant of the Yahweh predicts that the light which will lighten the earth with his glory will be called a false light by those who refuse to walk in his advancing glory. Review and Herald, May 7, 1890. In the manifestation of the power that lightens the earth with his glory, they will see only something which in their blindness they think dangerous, something which will arouse their fears, and they will brace themselves to resist it, because the Yahweh does not work according to their expectations and the an ideal. They will oppose the work, while they say, should we not know the spirit of Elohim when we have been in the work for so many years? Bible Training School, 1907, reprint and review in Herald, November 7, 1918. We need never expect that when the Yahweh has light for his people, Satan will stand calmly by and make no effort to prevent them from receiving it. He will work upon minds to excite distress and jealousy and unbelief. Let us beware that we do not refuse the light Elohim sent, because it does not come in a way to please us. Let not Elohim's blessing be turned away from us because we know not the time of our visitation. The sad part about it, Diane Kermit, for years and years and years, that they had gone for 32 years without receiving new Yahweh's message on a daily basis from heaven. Brother Johnson was supposed to be receiving truth from heaven on a daily basis. And he's supposed to be storing that all up and publishing that. He was supposed to be getting the messages and then publishing them as soon as he got them. That's the way we do here. We get messages every day. We publish them and put them on a one-hour CD at a time. That's what he was supposed to have done. Somehow, some way, he was supposed to be, that was his job. But he didn't do that. And that's the reason why we came up in 2002, and nobody knew who, what was going on. So if there are any who do not see and accept the light themselves, let them not stand in the way of others. Let it not be said of this highly favored people, as of the Jews, when the good news of the kingdom was preached unto them, they entered not in themselves, and them that were entering in, they hindered. Testimony, Volume 5, page 728. This very sort of thing, we remind our leading brethren, was precisely what occurred in the Empire's treatment according to the message of 1888, when it was slighted, spoken against, ridiculed, rejected, and denounced as leading unto to enthusiasm and fanaticism. Testimony of the Ministers, page 468. Would that be experience never be repeated? Sadly, though, the Spirit of Prophecy says, for the light which will lighten the earth with his glory will be called a false light. Okay, so that light that lightens the earth with his glory was what came to Rollis Johnson in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. July the 14th, 2002, Yahweh visited Rollis and his wife, Laura Mae Johnson. I had them as a captive audience in their car and me driving it, and they have no choice but to listen. But the thing is, they were the one that initiated the conversation, the questions. They wanted to hear from me, and I was the one resisting, not wanting to talk about it. And I ignored them the first time around on the way on our way down to where we were going. But then on our way back, Lame just was not satisfied. She said, well, she wasn't satisfied. She said, we're not satisfied with your answer. She said, we want to hear from you. So they heard from me, and they thought they wanted to hear from me. Or at home they would have stayed. Okay, so it says, the light which lightens the earth with his glory will be called a false light. We entreat of you who oppose the light of the truth to stand out of the way of the Elohim's people, that heaven's sent light shine forth upon them in the clear, steady rays. Elohim holds you, and to whom this light is come, responsible for the use you make of it. Those who will not hear will be held responsible, for the truth has been brought within their reach, but they despise their opportunities and privileges. Review and Herald, May 27, 1890. That nothing may be left undone to warn them of this terrible disappointment about to overtake them, we address still another appeal unto the leading brethren. Dear brethren, again we plead with you that even though you despise the source of the plea, you make a thorough investigation of the message that has come unto you in the name of the Yahweh, lest you repeat the history of the Jews. For of all men, you should realize most acutely the dreadful danger of closing your eyes and stopping your ears, even though it be the words of only some poor fisherman. Unless you repent of your present attitude toward the message and pray, Yahweh, if perhaps the thought of thine heart be forgiven thee, then just so surely as your eyes now read these words, your wrong course will bring upon you, and that very shortly the fulfillment of that fearful pronouncement of the true witness, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, truth or prophets, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Brethren, remember that there is no pride so dangerous as a spiritual pride. Testimonies, Ministers, page 109. This range further us to this audience contact at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on the audio archives. We're going to close now with a song by the Elijah David, Wonder of Wonder. Prophecy made for the future to unfold, about a man named Joshua who came to his own, to live and to die and to reign on his throne. Wonder of wonder in heaven I see, heavenly light shining all around me. Glory in heaven is found. Oh, matchless love, from heaven come down. He was a man who walked among men. He showed deliverance from all manner of sin. He touched the heartstrings of men where they live, and with unerring judgment he had power to forgive. Wonder of wonder in heaven I see, heavenly light shining all around me. Glory of glory in heaven is found. No matchless love from heaven come down. Taught the plan of salvation by faith, long on mercy and full of grace. He blazed a trail to glory, you see, through the blood of the Lamb of Calvary.